But in Luke, it's a very short prayer, and the emphasis is on simplicity and dependence. And Jesus, almost as though Jesus is saying in that prayer, it really doesn't matter what you say to God as long as the things that you do say represent the inner qualities of faith, trust, and dependence. That you see your life lived before Him and that you acknowledge that the things that you have are from Him, and so you continue to ask Him for those things. And you continue to give glory and honor to Him as your Father and to pray about the ways in which His kingdom can come and will come and what your role is within that. And that you ask God to give you today the things that you need, not a lifetime of abundance. And when we come to our passage this morning, I'm going to be in chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. It's a parable that often goes by the name of the parable of the rich fool. And it's a parable that maybe you've thought about. It's a parable that maybe, depending on your circumstances, you haven't thought much about because you don't want to. It's a parable that we can get caught up in thinking about what Jesus is saying, and when we start thinking about this sort of a parable and how it limits us, then we're looking at it the wrong way. What we want to look at this morning is the ways in which this parable actually goes along with Jesus' teaching about prayer from Luke chapter 11. And when we think about the abundance that we have with God, when we live our lives in dependence upon Him, then this parable will make a whole lot more sense, because it's not a parable only about money. And it's not a parable that asks us to think about how much money we're able to get away with having before God gets upset and steals it all away from us. But it's a parable that teaches us more and more about the way of God and how He calls us to move away from the things that are in each of our lives that cause us to trust ourselves more than we trust Him. And so it's a parable that teaches us more and more about the mystery of trust and dependence upon God. We can trust in ourselves, and sometimes we'll find everything taken away from us, and then we have nothing left. Or we can trust in God and find every day new things on that journey to be thankful for and to keep following Him because of. Let's look at the passage. Chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Gospel of Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then He said to the crowd, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that we have this passage. Thank you that we have in the Gospels difficult passages for us to look at, that we have things on a regular basis that we need to struggle with, that we need to really think deeply about in our own lives of discipleship and faith. And Father, this morning I pray that we would find the meaning of this parable and that we would examine our own lives for those ways in which we trust ourselves and depend on ourselves more than we depend and trust on you. We thank you that Jesus taught this. We thank you that He lived such an example that we can look at Him in almost any story in the Gospels and find how He stayed connected to you how he lived before you, how he trusted you. And Father, even as we acknowledge him as your son, may we be encouraged to see that even your son had to always cultivate that kind of trust and faith in you. May that become an example for us, but may we also be reminded of the gospel and of his life and death for our sins, and then his resurrection. And Father, we know this morning that through him and because of him, we have eternal life with you for all those who come to you through your son, Jesus. May we be encouraged in our faith and strengthened, but may we also be challenged to continue growing. As we think about Jesus and as we think about living our own lives, may we grow each day to become stronger in faith, and may we look each day to have greater influence with the people that we come in contact with around us. We thank you for Jesus, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. How many have ever had the feeling of achieving something, or maybe being able to purchase something that you've wanted to have for a long period of time, and then when you achieved it or when you purchased it, it was nice for a little while, but then quickly you realize it's not enough. You want more. I don't think I'm the only one that's ever experienced that feeling in my life. We're getting ready to go on a family vacation here at the end of this week, and it caused me to think about different states of emotion that I go through with different things. Often when we'll go on vacation, I get excited about the place we're going, and then my mind turns to, man, it would sure be nice to own something like this so that we didn't have to rent it once a year, but we could go to it whenever we wanted to, and it would be nice to have this. And then I go on vacation, and we experience that, and by the end, my initial vision has now doubled, and I'm thinking that rather than having, you know, a nice house on a lake somewhere, it would be a lot better to have a beach condo or something and be able to, you know the feeling. I'm seeing some looks here that people know the feeling. The idea that I have to work through is where is enough going to be enough? Sometimes I think it'd be nice to have a quiet place in the woods. And then you go and you experience that, and then you think it would be nice to have a quiet place in the woods plus 100 acres. Right? Because it's never enough. We tend to always want more, and I'm not trying to be critical about that. I think it's just the way that our human nature is. We experience something good, and we want more of it. And so once I start thinking about those things, once I start thinking about the more that I want, if I then become very honest with myself, I see that my thoughts turn in different directions. You've probably experienced this yourself as well. If I'm going to get that 100-acre property deep in the woods somewhere, I'm going to have to make more money. So I start thinking about how am I going to pull in more money to be able to do that? And I begin to think about much more the physical things of my life. I begin to think about much more the things that I want to attain in my life and the things that I want. And often when that becomes the focus of my thoughts, the things that I turn away from are questions about spiritual growth and my own faith. Because Jesus teaches us enough about, there's no way we can have any kind of a divided loyalty when we think about him. We need to think about him first and then other things second. And so maybe you've had some of these same desires. Maybe in your own life you've gone through times of thinking about or desiring greater wealth. And your thoughts have turned to how you can accumulate more. Or maybe you've thought about a desire for greater health. If you've experienced some health concerns, maybe your thoughts have turned towards how you could do better. Or why you deserve to have better health than you or some other family member has. Maybe you have a desire in your life for greater security. And so your thoughts continually turn towards your retirement plans or the equity or lack thereof built up in your house. And these thoughts consume your waking moments because your greatest desire is to have that security that you want to build up for yourself. Maybe your desire has to do with less tangible things, maybe with your family relationships. And you think about the family gatherings that you go to, or maybe even within your immediate family, and you think about some of the difficulties or the problems that exist within your immediate family unit, and your desire is to have greater family relationships, but you desire that to such an extent that that becomes the thing that consumes you. Or maybe you even make an idol out of a desire for greater faith and spiritual growth, and rather than trusting in Jesus to accomplish those things, you turn from one gimmick to another, from one program to another, from one book to another, from one internet preacher to another, always looking for the next best thing that's supposedly going to help you draw closer to God, but is not God himself. These desires that I've touched on, these attitudes, these ways of thinking are not wrong in and of themselves. And I don't believe that we're wrong to want better or to desire different things and to think about how we could make some of these things a reality. But where we go wrong with these things is when we make the achieving of them the goal of our lives. To where we say that we'll accomplish this or attain this goal first and then see what's up with God after the fact. When we find in these moments that we're seeking possessions or security or the preservation of what we think we're holding on to, instead of seeking the kingdom of God, we can be sure in that moment that we're on the wrong track. And so when we look at the parable this morning here in Luke chapter 12, the parable that I read for us, we see that what Jesus is really talking about is that our primary need in life is to seek God and to seek God's kingdom. The important things of life which Jesus establishes throughout the gospel, but especially in this parable, as our basic needs, will work themselves out when we stay focused on living within his kingdom and furthering it. If we find ourselves being worried about things, it's probably because in some way we've taken our eyes off of God's kingdom. If we find ourselves being unfocused in our lives or in our spiritual growth, it's probably because we're attempting to put our focus on something that is not God's kingdom. And if we find ourselves being stressed out all the time or angry too easily, it's probably because we're relying too much on our own power to accomplish things for ourselves instead of relying on God's power to work within us in and for his kingdom. And so the challenge of this parable is that when we face these difficulties, when we think about the desires of our lives, and when we find things not lining up for us the way that we want them to line up, the challenge for us is to stop pushing so hard for ourselves and to take our questions to Jesus. But when we do that, we find out that the questions we're asking are not going to receive answers from him that are in line with what we most want. Jesus takes our questions and he redefines them through the answers that he gives to show us what we need. What we find in a life of discipleship with Jesus is that truly our wants are different than our needs. And Jesus will show us what our needs really are, and hopefully as we then set out to achieve and to learn more about those needs and to grow in those areas, we find out what it is that we truly want. Because he's reshaped those things for us. It's because we're asking the wrong questions when we're asking about what's in it for us, when we're asking questions or trying to attain things based on how deserving we think we are and how little we can get away with putting into our life, that we run into these roadblocks. So we want to know why in our lives, if we are being faithful to God, at least in our own minds, why is the economy affecting us the way it is? But it's the wrong question, because that's a question that seeks to buy favor from God based on our faithfulness. We seek to buy favor from God according to what we want. If I'm going to be faithful to God, then he better come through for me in this way. And then when it doesn't happen, we're upset with God. We want to know why, if we're faithful to God, our health isn't always the way that we want it to be. But this too is the wrong question. And we want to know why, if we're faithful to God, if we're really faithful to God, why is our church not being flooded with visitors? But this is the wrong question. Because when we approach questions to God in this way, what we're really doing is bargaining with God, asking him to do things for us based on what we're going to do for him, as though we can buy some kind of favor from him by doing X and Y first, thereby guaranteeing a specific result from God, a result that we want, but that has never been promised by him. And so in this parable, Jesus strips away all pretense by which someone can go before God in an attempt to earn a specific result from him. And we find that if we ever ask these questions, if we ever have these demands from God, we find that we are not unique in asking questions this way. Because in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, the passage that I read, there's a man within the crowd that's circulating around Jesus who asks Jesus a similar question. In fact, he wants Jesus to mediate about a personal dispute he's having. And so Jesus is traveling around and he's teaching people. He's trying to help others be drawn closer to God, to learn about God's ways and about God's kingdom. And suddenly this man from the crowd erupts. His voice breaks into the mix. And he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And if that statement seems out of place for you as you think about it or as you read it, it's because it is out of place. This is not the direction that Jesus has been teaching in. This is an individual who tries to co-opt the teaching of Jesus, who tries to take Jesus for what he's offering and twist it to get what he wants instead. Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God, but this man comes on the scene and says, "Jesus, I want you to build my own kingdom." He wants the inheritance. And so he interrupts Jesus to ask Jesus to intervene in a family dispute over money. But Jesus refused to engage with this individual. He tells him, "I'm not a judge and I'm not a referee for your situation." And Jesus didn't answer the question the way that this man wanted him to answer. When Jesus answers questions that are put to him like this, what most often happens is he goes straight to address the inner hidden motives that are left unaddressed through the questions. And so Jesus says in verse 14, "I'm not a judge and I'm not a referee between you and your brother." And then in verse 15, he turns to the crowd around him. And he says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Why would he turn around and say this to the crowd? Because he knows that the inner attitude of the man who asked this question was an attitude of greed, an attitude of wanting more, an attitude of finding whatever means necessary to get what he wanted to further his own ambitions. And what Jesus says is that though this man wanted one thing, the reality is that he needed something altogether different. But maybe we find ourselves in this same individual. We want one thing, but when we're before Jesus, we find that we need something else altogether. We want lasting security, but we look for it in the wrong places. We want spiritual growth, but we're unwilling to spend the effort that it will take to get us there. We want greater faith in our lives, but we don't put the action behind the thought that Scripture tells us is necessary. And like this man, we can very easily become distracted over matters of money, over issues of greed, and our concern is often for the preservation of ourselves and our own possessions, instead of expanding God's kingdom, sharing within it, and spreading the generosity that exists within God's economy. Preservation of things and self comes from fear and selfishness. And just like this rich fool who took his eyes off of the kingdom of God to serve himself, if his eyes ever were on the kingdom of God to begin with, we take our eyes off the kingdom of God when we focus on our own self-preservation instead of God's kingdom. And the reality is that if we want security, we can have it, but we find it only in God. We want growth, but not if it requires more from us. But the reality is, if we change our tone on that and we're willing to do the things that God has laid out for us, we'll find growth beyond measure. And we want to have faith in our own minds only if it comes to us gently and in a way that we can control. But if we abandon ourselves to God to be led by Him as He wants to lead us, we'll find the faith that we've really been seeking for, and we'll find it to be easier than we would have ever guessed, because we're now doing it out of trust. We want the best for ourselves, but we find the best within God's kingdom. Jesus teaches us that true riches are to be given to God out of the fruit of abundance of our lives, not preserved in physical ways for ourselves. Instead of a selfish, fearful, preservationist attitude, we should keep our focus on the kingdom of God and the spirit of generosity and sharing that is essential to God's kingdom. Jesus teaches us not to store up things for ourselves, but to be rich towards God. This is a change in attitude for many of us, because we're used to thinking first about ourselves and then secondarily about God or other people if it ever gets to that. Jesus calls us to turn that around and begin to think about Him first and then see how that plays out in our lives as we think about other people. Riches in God's economy are not about money, but they're about relationships first with God and then with others. And so if it's security that we want, we'll find all the security that we need within God's kingdom. If it's growth that we want, we'll have all the growth we can handle when we begin sharing out of the bounty that exists within God's kingdom. If it's faith that we want, we'll find all the faith that we ever need in our lives for our whole lives when we begin to share generously with others. And we see the blessings and the grace of God firsthand for ourselves. This parable is calling us to turn from our prideful ways of seeking to grow and establish things for ourselves. It's calling us to understand that our lives are held by God for His glory, and that our ultimate aim and goal is to live for Him. This parable calls us to lay up good things for God, to lay up riches for God, and to find our inheritance, to find our abundance in eternal life. If you are here this morning and need to respond to this invitation, to this call that God is laying out for your life, to begin a journey with Him, or to turn your life back towards Him, or to make a firm commitment to begin living within His kingdom today, make that decision. Come forward if necessary as we stand and sing.